This is FCB Radio, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbradio.com.
Todd Allen Radio, turn your speakers up, let's go.
Hello, folks, and welcome. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. I'm your host, Professor Econ Todd Allen, in studio with Khalid Namar. Khalid, how are you, sir?
I am well.
Outstanding. So are you better than last week? Because I know that you were a little bit, you were mentally exhausted last week.
Oh, I'm great now.
Okay. Well, lots going on.
I'm back to normal.
Oh, well. Is that a good thing?
We will find out.
Well, that's scary. You being back to normal.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot going on in the news. And so let's get right into it. And the Philadelphia shootings, do we know what that was all about at this point? I know that we had six police officers that were injured.
Well, the police were serving a warrant for drug-related crimes against a guy named Maurice Hill in an area called, ironically, Nicetown. That's what it's called.
Right.
You talk about irony.
Right.
And this career criminal who has beaten charges for kidnapping, attempted murder. I mean, he's like a career criminal. Fired on cops, shot six of them, and they've all survived. He had, an assault rifle or an Armalite rifle, a long rifle, whatever you want to call it, and shot a bunch of people. But they survived. One of them was grazed in the head. They're all out of the hospital. He finally surrendered after they tear gassed the place.
About eight hour standoff.
Yeah. But he was shooting at everybody. He even shot at the police chief that showed up, police commissioner. It was a harrowing scene. So now they've taken the guy alive, and he will probably get 1,000 years in prison. But
do we know about who the guy is or anything? Has anything come out about that?
He's just a career. He's a career criminal.
Right.
He's a drug dealer. He's the guy's record is extensive.
So he didn't pass a background check?
No.
but yet he was able to get this weapon.
Yeah, he's been, the guy's record is very extensive.
Right.
And you wonder, why isn't this guy doing serious time? But he's beaten some of these charges as well, so that has a lot to do with it.
So we also see that out in Riverside, California, that there was actually what they call a ghost gun. So there was a shooting with a ghost gun. And the ghost gun is that people basically buy bits and parts of weapons and then puts them together so they don't have the background checks. So, I mean, with all of the gun violence that's going on, and then you have the politicians who are screaming for increasing in laws, this just goes to show that when people want weapons, that they will find a way to get it.
Yeah, I mean, people, there's all kind of things that people can get illegally. Like, there's nothing people can't get illegally. So to think that a guy like this, who has an extensive criminal history, it's really, like, amazing. So if you can't keep this guy from getting a weapon like this, then you can forget anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy has had all sorts of charges. He's got major issues. But I wonder what else he had in that house in terms of weaponry. He probably had quite a bit.
Well, we also see that here in Northeast Ohio, I mean, they arrested a young male that had, I think it was 10,000 rounds of ammunition, along with assault-type weaponry. How did this guy get it? I mean, it's frightening. It's frightening. And the sad thing from my perspective is this, that the people at risk are, and I know we're going to talk about this, the term law-abiding citizens. The people at risk are those who typically follow the law and will obey the law for the most part. But these people become the targets of those people who have malintentions. And when someone is firing upon you that has evil intentions for you, you typically call other people who have guns to kind of save the day, in a sense. So, you know, how do you balance this? How do you balance this whole process? And I don't know if adding additional legislation is the
no,
way to do it.
No, it won't. What people want, they want something done, even though something is rather non-productive. They just want to mistake activity for achievement.
And we give up more freedoms when that happens. I mean, when people just say, okay, well, I want something done. Okay, well, we're gonna enact this law, and it's gonna negatively impact more people than who it was designed for.
People just want to feel good. So they're yelling at politicians, do something, do something. And then the politicians respond by doing something, which doesn't fix the problem, but it appeases people. It makes people feel like, okay, I've done something.
It's Soma. It's like a drug. Huh? It's like Soma, the drug, right?
Yeah.
So it's basically, okay, now I feel good. Puff, yeah. Puff, pass.
Yeah. And you medicate people by just, well, you passed the anti-crazy person gun legislation, and oh, we clap and we have a press conference. Does nothing.
Yeah.
Does nothing. This guy's criminal record, I want to read a little bit of it. It began in 2001, okay? In the adult system, 2001. When he was 18, he was arrested with a gun that had altered serial number. Police records show that he has been arrested, and his name is Maurice Hill, has been arrested about a dozen times since turning 18. And convicted 6 times on charges that involved illegal possession of guns, drug dealing, and aggravated assault. He has been in and out of prison. The longest sentence handed to him came in 2010 when the federal judge gave him a 55-month term. And his record would indicate he does not like to go to prison. In 2008, he was convicted of escaping, fleeing from police, and resisting arrest. Along the way, he beat criminal charges on everything from kidnapping to attempted murder.
How did he get out?
There's more.
Wait, there's more.
There's more.
There's more, okay.
He'll also spend time in federal prison in 2008. He pleaded guilty to federal firearms violations after he was caught with a Smith & Wesson 357 and later a Taurus PT-45 semi-automatic. Mm. His prior felony conviction should have barred him from owning those weapons. You think? U.S. District Judge Paul Diamond sentenced him to 4 years and 7 months in prison.
Well, that's assuming that he went through channels to get this. I mean, I'm assuming, you know, he possibly got these illegally. Well, you know.
Well, right.
As opposed to by legal means.
It's a moronic statement.
Correct.
Do you think this guy went to a gun store and put his ID on the counter and said, can I get a 45?
Right.
I mean, these reporters, I swear to you, if you read media and you really read it, you'd go, who wrote this nonsense? Should have barred him. Barred him. If you're getting it from Mookie, Mookie don't do background checks.
Right. He just counts the in.
Yes.
Right.
What you need, dog.
Right. Right.
This is dumb.
Yeah.
Like he went to a gun store. My name was Maurice. Here's my background and here's my ID.
Right. Here's my record.
Yeah. It's stupid. So I don't know. I'm sorry I've said this, and this is not being pessimistic. This is being realistic. This toothpaste is not being put back in the tube.
Correct.
Period. End of story.
Well, when it comes to legislation, the one thing that people forget is that you cannot legislate someone's heart. Right?
True.
Because, you know, I mean, if people have malintentions, I mean, and if they have a dark heart, they're going to do those things which, you know, which predicate them, you know, acting upon their dark heart. And it's just unfortunate.
And I'll give you a historical example with slavery. Slavery in the Constitution.
Wait a minute. I thought that was one of the things that we don't talk about. I mean, you said there's a list of things that politicians don't talk about.
No.
And plantation and slavery. There you go.
No. I'm not a politician anymore.
No more.
I'm not running for office.
Right.
But in the Constitution, slavery, the importation of slaves was banned after the year 1808. So what happened? People still went around and brought slaves in after 1808.
Right.
Why? Because they figured out a way to do it. So if people want to do something, damn legislation. It's like, you know.
Right.
And there are so many guns out here. And there are people, and you can watch these videos on YouTube, where people, young black men, unfortunately, are robbing gun stores. They just take a truck, tie a chain to the front door, yank it off, and a bunch of people run in there and steal guns. And then those guns end up God knows where. I have someone I know whose brother robbed a train that had weapons on it. They will get weapons. And so bottom line is this culture is what it is. It's violent and no legislation is going to stop it. Period. Period. Unless the government buys up all these gun manufacturers and puts them out of business, they'll pop up somewhere else.
Right.
So
Well, the underground economy is it's huge. It always has been.
Yeah. And just think if the government passes a ban on certain types of weapons like tomorrow.
Well, the price of those weapons goes sky high.
Thank you. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, the demand for them will go up.
Right. Just like when they wanted to get rid of the Confederate flag in South Carolina.
Yeah.
What happened to the flag? Everybody wanted to buy one.
Right. Right.
So I feel bad saying that because I live here too, but we're in a lot of trouble in this culture.
Well, I mean, they created demand. Because here's the thing. Let's say that they ban a certain type of automatic weapon, okay? And then it goes underground. Well, what happens to you and I then is that we become soft targets because we don't have access to those weapons to protect ourselves. So someone who wants to do harm to us will go and buy as many of those weapons as possible, as many rounds as possible, and then what are they going to do? They're going to walk into a Walmart near you, right, and they're going to start open fire. And that's the sad thing. Well, you know, or any kind of soft target. I shouldn't just say Walmart. Folks, we'll be right back on the other side. Continue this conversation. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show.
The Todd Allen Show. Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin. And I don't stress as much. Dad, I hope he's still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. Khalid, how can our listeners follow you?
Khalid Namar on all social media platforms.
And you can follow us at The Todd Allen Show at The Todd Allen Show on all social media. How about that?
You sound like the Cash Me Outside girl. How about that?
Wow. Wow. I'm glad you're my friend. So when we ended the last segment, I was basically talking about how they ban these certain weapons and make it even more difficult to obtain because of the legislation. The people who are impacted are those who typically follow the law, who typically do what they can based upon the law. And those who typically do not or have a dark heart buy those weapons that we can't get. The price goes up. And then they basically put us in harm's way when we're at our soft target. So I think during the break, Khalid, you were saying how one of the things that protect us is that our government is able that has more firepower than the criminals.
For now.
Well, yeah, but there were several instances when that was not the case. And we talked about, was it Burbank, California?
Yeah, 1998.
In 1998, when the guys were walking around in their Iron Man suits.
Yeah.
And
now, imagine 1,000 people. There was only two of those guys, and they shot it out with a couple hundred police officers. Imagine it was 1,000 of these guys, because Pablo Escobar in Colombia, the notorious drug dealer, had a 1,000-man army. He was able to do a lot of damage. And he bought off cops with corruption, and he had a 1,000-man army, which he attacked the Supreme Court, killed a bunch of justices, he killed politicians. That's a lot of firepower. And so try going to arrest that guy with a 1,000-man army on a ranch. We arrest people here. Now, Chapo wouldn't have got arrested without U.S. help. You know, Escobar wouldn't have gotten arrested without U.S. intelligence either.
Right.
These states are at the mercy of the criminals because they have a lot of money, a lot of firepower. So here we are fortunate enough to where we don't have to shoot it out with a guy like John Gotti. However, there's going to be a time when you're going to have a guy, unfortunately, who has that kind of firepower, and then we're going to really understand how we've changed.
Well, the thing about the Burbank is that the police officers, how did they obtain the weaponry to be able to finally put these guys
down? They had to break in a gun store. I mean, they literally had to call the gun store, have them open up so they can go in and grab a bunch of high-power weapons so they can deal with these guys who had armor-piercing bullets and all sorts of amazing firepower.
Right.
And that was like – you can watch it on YouTube if you have not seen it. I know a lot of people are not old enough to remember, but this was played out on live television for 45 minutes. It's like a movie.
Right.
That movie Heat with that big shootout scene, this was like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then – we also saw something similar to this in Dallas, Texas, where the guy was walking around and he was ambushing police officers and that kind of thing.
Well, he was an ex
military person,
he knew how to take a tactical position and ambush a bunch of cops, and I think he killed three.
Yeah, unfortunately. But remember early on in the Trump administration that there were a lot of people who were complaining that they were saying that the police were being militarized because there was a lot of surplus machinery, I should say, or mechanicals, if you will, that were actually being distributed across the country. And many people complained. They were saying, well, the police are getting all this military-grade equipment, and it's bad for the population. And you couple that with the belief that many people have of the police not being in supportive of certain groups of people. And then you have a lot of different kinds of conspiracy theories that are basically coming out. But the thing is that when there is an active shooter in these situations, the people that they call typically are the police. And the police are the ones that can basically come and handle it.
Well, that's changing. Because I don't know if you watched the mockery of the cops in Philly yesterday who were responding to this shooter. They were relentlessly mocked and taunted by the people in the neighborhood. Disturbing.
Yeah.
And that's why police applications are down across the country. Even the news crew was harassed. And as you know, around the country, cops have been doused with water and things. People, I'm going to tell you something, it's getting scary because teachers are fleeing the profession around the country due to low pay, violence, and all kinds of other things they have to deal with. And the cop applications are down across the country. So if people don't want to police in these cities or teach, we are in huge trouble.
And here's my take on that. You know, ancient wisdom says that faith comes by hearing. So hearing and learning kind of like are synonymous. So what are many of our people or population here in the United States learning is that they're learning that that people are saying the bad things about the United States. They're hearing bad things about the police. They're hearing all these negative things. And people are very reluctant to hear good things about the police or good things about other public officials or leadership or government or things relative to the government or politicians. So what happens is that these people constantly hear a negative drone about certain things, and it goes to their behavior. So now they're acting out the negative things that they hear. So what we have to do, I believe, as a society, is we have to change what's being heard or what's being listened to. That we need to start speaking positive things. I think the ancient wisdom says, as a man thinketh, so is he. But we also say that, we have to hear the good news, if you will. And then that predicates good behavior and good activity. But if you hear negative things all the time, then people start to live a life of negativism and bad things. So we have to change what people hear. Unfortunately, the media is not going to hear that, because the only thing that they hear when they're against something is they want to point out the negative things about that. I mean, and as I said last week, God spoke to the devil. There was a conversation that they had, and they talked about Job, right? But here, the media doesn't want to have any kind of conversation with the current administration. They just simply say, okay, here, we want you to act. Okay, well, what would you suggest that we do? Because at the end of the day, there's nothing that could be done that's going to change the heart of a person. Unless that person starts to hear the good news or starts to hear quality things, then we can start to see a change of heart. But, as long as we continue to be negative, I don't know.
Well, I think the culture is it's
You're writing us off already. Huh?
You know what? Listen,
Nero playing the fiddle during the fire.
I am a realist.
All right, now that's your new nickname, Khalid Nero. Nero Namar.
You don't, again, as the saying goes, put toothpaste back in the tube. You don't.
They don't turn off your phone either when we're on the air, right?
I should be sanctioned for that. Turn off my notification. Darvio,
we're going to do a background check on you next time when you come in here.
Darvio is going to hit us and cuss me out.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
There are certain things and attitudes that once they change, if they're not passed down, that they just don't automatically reverse themselves. If nothing gets taught, nothing is learned. But
learning begins through hearing, I believe. Because when you're talking about language,
where are you going to hear it from?
Well, this is what I'm saying. When you learn how to speak, You had to do it by hearing and listening. Okay.
We're talking about, you're talking about cognitive skills. I'm talking about values. So,
but values are learned behavior. And how do you learn it? Through hearing.
No, you don't.
Okay.
No, you don't. Okay. You learn through hearing. You learn it through a series of things. Now, if you want to have this discussion, I love it because Sammy, who's sitting in the studio with us, knows we've talked about this. There are certain things that in our society that have taught values and passed things on. We got
through oral tradition.
Not necessarily. let me finish. We got them through family structure, number one, mm-hmm. and religious instruction. Mm-hmm. Also through societal reinforcement. Mm-hmm. So schools, churches, families are like the pillars of any society. Mm-hmm. Those things have been deteriorating for a while now. They've fallen apart. They've whittled away. Their influence is no longer there. So when those things fall apart and you have nothing to replace them, right. How do you replace the churches, the schools, and the family? You don't. So how is the right from wrong that we, if, you know, some of us knew came from one of those three places or all three?
Understood.
Well, you have people that are not even familiar with those institutions. There's some people who don't have a family at home that teaches them any kind of values. They've never seen inside of a religious institution or a church, and they don't value school.
And I'm not disagreeing with you in that regard.
So my point is, as a society, you don't just get on television and talk and then all of a sudden people start behaving morally. You have to have some objective arbiter of what morality is, number one. You have to have some respect that is taught to you on a very basic level from your first institution, which is home. And you have to be taught the values of living in a community where you respect law, you respect your neighbors, and you respect the community. All of these things that you're seeing are results of things that have collapsed and fallen apart.
And I
value
agree
system.
With you.
So it's more than just talking positively. It takes a lot to parent and raise and create a functioning society. That's my point.
I'm not disagreeing with you that it takes a lot. So it takes a lot of positive speaking. It takes a lot of positive conversation. You know, in order to become a part of who you are, right? In order to become a part of your character, there has to be something positive has to be put inside you in order for that thing to grow. And I believe it starts with our conversation. It starts with our hearing and our listening, and then we start to develop that belief system.
Okay.
If we constantly hear a negative drone, a negative conversation, gossip, we start to believe that negativism. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not disagreeing with you, Khalid. I mean, I think you're very eloquent when you talk about that and talk about culture and talk about character. I agree with you. But I believe that it starts with our conversation.
It starts with
what comes out of our mouth. And I think that as a society, we need to have more positive conversation, even if we don't agree with our competitors. Let's say I'm not going to call them our enemies. Even if we don't agree with the other side in terms of process, we cannot continue to have a negative, you know, name calling, hyperbolic conversations, and throwing something out there without really any proof of fact. You know what I mean?
Of course, but all of these things you're talking about reflects where we are.
I agree.
It's like the music. If you look at the music that came out of some of the most oppressive times in our history as Black people, it was certainly more positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Think about it.
The Black National Anthem, We Shall Overcome.
Yeah.
Right?
And it was positive. You didn't hear Louis Armstrong dropping F-bombs in his music. He was singing What a Wonderful World.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So the culture produces these things. Why? Because it results from the consciousness of where we are at the time. So the consciousness has to change, but it won't change unless our culture changes. In other words, the language that people use and things of that nature, you're right. It's conversation, it's behavior, it's all of these things. So I agree with what you're saying, but it starts, again, the schools. When they say schools are bad, I always say, well, schools are just buildings. They're just buildings. The schools are only as good as the product that's in it, the kids that are in it. And if you don't have discipline, because I haven't heard that word mentioned yet, discipline and respect, you can't educate people.
Right. And discipline is a competitive competency.
Sheriff Joe Clark was telling us this decades ago.
Folks, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show.
The Todd Allen Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin, and I don't stretch as much. Dad, I hope you're still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. I want to give a shout out to Ashley Herzog, who's on assignment today. So if you've tuned in to hear Ashley's perspective on things, she's actually out on assignment and will be back with us our next show. Khalid, this is a segment that we really like on The Todd Allen Show, and it's called Really.
Really.
All right, so we know that colleges are kind of nutty.
kind of.
Yeah. Some are more nuttier than others. So there's all sorts of totalitarian nonsense going on campuses where they're.
You mean they're not free and they're not balanced?
No, they're not emotionally or mentally balanced.
Or fair and balanced? No.
Okay. No. They squash free speech. They're basically a little communist. But anyway,
tell us how you really feel.
So they have what's called bias response teams.
Bias response team.
Yes.
It's like first responders.
They're essentially, you remember the Red Scare in the you know, 50s, where in the McCarthyism era.
It was before my time.
Well, you should remember it. You know. No, you were in high school then, weren't you?
Wow. Okay. Thanks, man. You're my friend. Okay. No, it was before my time.
So these are essentially watchdog organizations that are basically politically correct Politburos.
Or brown shirts.
Yeah. So people are making complaints about things that they hear that are not politically correct, and you report to the bias response team.
On college campuses?
Yes. They have 232 schools.
Do you have a list of those schools?
No.
232 schools with the bias response team.
Yeah. So, for instance, there was a student that made a report to the bias response team because someone greeted her in Japanese by saying hello in Japanese. yes. One guy, now this is something that doesn't have to be said to you. You can overhear it. So there was two people having conversation about a computer cord. One of the young men gave his, you know, schoolmate a computer cord. It didn't fit. And he said, well, just force it in. And the guy said, well, that's rape. Well, now they're talking amongst themselves. Someone overheard this and reported it to the bias response team. Wow. And I'm not joking when I say communist, because I have a friend from Poland. And she told me that growing up in Poland, you could make jokes about Americans, but you couldn't say anything about Russians because mm-hmm. someone would tell on you.
Wow.
And so that's why I'm not joking when I say communist.
So what do these bias response teams do?
Well, they pull you in front of the panel and you have to explain yourself.
How many people are in this panel?
Well, I don't know. It could be 4 or 5 people, but they're all academic lefties, and you are going to explain yourself why you're a bigot, racist, homophobe, or whatever they want to call you.
Wow.
And this is seriously so. It says, here we go, and this is an article I'm reading from the National Review. 232 American colleges and universities have set up BRTs, and it appears that this foul idea is spreading. I find it easy to believe, since many college administrators are eager to appease their vociferous cohorts of progressive students, and this helps. Predictably, speech that is protected by the First Amendment often winds up being reported as, quote, biased, and then, in quote, investigated by panels that usually are composed of only students. No adult supervision here. We find that it isn't just leftist students who decide to file bias reports, but the conservative ones have also been known to do that. For example, during last year's presidential campaign, anti-Trump students reported as, quote, hate speech, pro-Trump messages, while pro-Trump students filed complaints against Trump is a racist signs. BRTs probably have some chilling effect on free speech, especially in campuses where it comes to be known that talk sometimes finds that someone finds offensive is apt to land you in front of an inquisition.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what they've created.
Really?
This is what they have created.
So when you say they.
They being the college administrators and the coddling of there's a gentleman named Dr. Everett Piper who's actually coming in for a speech next month. He wrote a book called Not a Daycare because he was a former president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. In his book, it's based on a letter he wrote to his students saying that this is not a daycare. You are not to be coddled here. You are not to hide from ideas you don't agree with. You're here to learn truth and you're here to grow.
Mm-hmm.
If we could clone this guy, we would have a heck of a university system, but not all administrators have any courage. They create a bunch of little selfish, weak little minions. And this is what you have, biased response teams.
Yeah. The unfortunate thing is that when you said no adults there, college is supposed to encourage critical thinking. And in order to develop critical thinking, you have to hear different ideas. And one way that you can sharpen your views is to hear other ideas and to refute those ideas based upon fact, right? And based upon research. It's what we find offensive, tomorrow I can say, well, you know what, anybody that wears the color brown, I'm offended, right? And then if I take it to this biased response team, now they're going to basically say, well, he's entitled to whatever he's feeling, and if he's feeling a certain way, then we have to value his views on that. How critical think? What happened to critical thinking? It used to be sticks and stones would break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is gone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. A bunch of weaklings. These people are weak. Some of the complaints were just absurd. But anyone feels slighted or offended, you call the Politburo, and they will pull you in front of the panel.
Do they have uniforms?
They should.
Uniforms.
The hammer
hats.
And sickle on their sleeves.
Wow.
I mean, this is nuts.
Yeah.
But the colleges have created this, and we've talked about this. You remember the Sarah Lawrence College story we did, where the students took over the campus or one of the campus buildings, and they wanted free detergent and meals every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. And then also there's a story that in Oberlin, not too far from here,
yes,
that they were going up against a bakery saying that they were racist and all this other kind of stuff. Because when I was on the campus of Oberlin, I remember that store.
It was Gibson's. Gibson's Bakery.
Yeah. I'm glad that Gibson's won because I never had a problem with Gibson's, right? In fact, there were many times when I was a hungry, starving student on the campus of Oberlin that Gibson's came through for a brother. Right? Helped the brother out. Right? I wasn't as wealthy as you were, Khalid. When you were
yeah, that's why I ended up leaving. But I think that people don't realize, people predicted this. This is what was predicted in the book 1984 by George Orwell.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the things he wrote in this book came true. About face crimes, you remember the students in Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
the Catholic school students?
Yeah.
Just because of the look on his face, he became a pariah because he stood there with the wrong look on his face.
Right. Well, we saw the same with, was it Sliman? With the being accused of enticing the Indian in Washington, D.C. to get into his face while beating a drum.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's what you're talking about, yeah.
The Catholic school students.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, in Kentucky. They were from Kentucky.
Okay.
So I'm just saying that
yeah.
things that he wrote about, oh my God, they were true. And this was 35 years ago.
Yeah. And if two people can be having a conversation, you and I could be having a conversation away from someone. If someone overhears what we're saying without even understanding the context of what's going on, they're going to report us. And you and I are going to be brought in front of the Politburo. And, what happened was.
And for those who don't know the Politburo, if you haven't Googled it, it's the Soviet intelligence agency.
Right.
But I'm just saying that when you have people snitching on people because they feel offended, that just reminded me of what my friend told me about Poland.
Yeah.
You can make jokes about Americans, but if you say anything about Russians,
right.
somebody you get an knock on the door.
So we'll be snitched on from a conversation that we have, but our neighborhood's not going to snitch on the drug dealer.
Right.
Because they drug dealers give them turkeys.
Yeah, exactly.
See.
But what has been created is sad because these students are demanding all black dorms in certain instances. They're demanding that they hire a pretty much usually lefties, a lefty professor, a gender studies person of every identity, political group, a LGBT one, a Hispanic one, an intersectional one, a Latinx one. I mean, it's just.
And even if you have an attorney who is representing someone that other people don't like.
Right.
They want to basically go after their jobs to promote some sort of financial violence against that person. And people don't understand that, too. If you're going after someone because you don't like their views and then you want them to lose their job, you're committing financial violence. You're taking food off the table. They can't feed their kids. And these kinds of things destroy marriages and all of that stuff simply because you don't like their views. That's terrorism, in a sense. So this is basically they're promoting, you know, like you say, junior snitches, but it's a form of terrorism that people can no longer have exercise freedom of expression or freedom of speech because you might, quote unquote, offend somebody.
Well, it's totalitarianism, which is famous on certain, you know, certain sides of the spectrum. Reading through the school's definitions that they have of what determines bias, like, for instance, Western Washington University's definition extends to demonstrations of bias, including language, words, signs, symbols, threats, and actions that could potentially cause alarm, anger, or fear in others.
But here's the thing. In from a psychological perspective, we all have bias.
But not all bias is bad.
Well, no.
And also, people need to not be offended by every little word that somebody says. This isn't bias. It's a misnomer.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone says, in Japanese, domo. No, that's thank you, right?
Ohio.
Yeah. How do you say hello, in Japan? You
Ohio.
Know, whatever. Ohio. Is that the word?
Ohio.
Okay. Ohio. O-H-I-O. Anyway, but somebody to report this person to a biased response team.
We'll Google that.
I mean, it's just dumb.
We'll Google Translate.
But biased response team because somebody said hello in Japanese to you, who happened to be a Japanese person.
It's because they're American.
It's silly.
Speak American.
Yeah,
we'll be right
I'm
back.
I'm reporting you to the biased response team.
Come on, they can come on over there. They can come and knock on my door. You're always welcome. Folks, you're listening to The Todd Allen Show.
The Todd Allen Show. Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin. And I don't stress as much. Dad, I hope he's still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. Khalid.
My man.
Chris Cuomo.
Of CNN.
Of CNN.
So I have a top 10 list of my least favorite Americans, right? Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon are probably 8 and 9, like, respectively, almost. Chris Cuomo is from the political dynasty of New York, which includes Mario Cuomo, former governor of New York, and his brother, who's the current governor, Andrew Cuomo. Mm-hmm. He's on CNN, and he goes out in public, and this guy addresses him as Fredo. And I don't know if we can play the clip, because there was a lot of cursing in it and stuff like that, so we can't play it, but maybe
they can go to YouTube. Our listeners can go to YouTube. Right.
So he threatened the guy, dropped a bunch of F-bombs, and said it was a slur. And he asked the guys around, "You Italian? You know, that's an insult against your people. That's like the N-word to us." And he's being mocked now,
right?
Because there was a comedian who said he wanted to use. He wrote for a lot of late night shows. He wanted to use the word midget, And the guy comes down to him and says, well, you can't use that. That's like the N-word. He said, no, it's not.
Right.
He said, because we're saying the word midget. We can't even say N-word.
Right. So the Fredo is short for Federico Corleone. There's a fictional character in the Mario Puzo's novel, The Godfather. So Fredo was portrayed by an American actor, John Cazale. In the Francis Ford Coppola film adaptation and the sequel, The Godfather Part II, he's the second son of the mafia don Vito Corleone. So this is a fictional character.
Yeah, but it's not a slur. So I'm going to prove it.
Wasn't there a Fredo in the Hobbit, Bilbo Baggins? There was another Fredo there, too. And I don't think...
Okay.
Frodo, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you for the...
So Chris Cuomo is a jokester. He's not a serious person. He says this is like the N-word, right?
To Italians.
That's what he says.
Right. He spoke for all Italians.
Well, here is what I'm going to play right now from his very own network, who appears to be fond of the N-word.
Like that his brother-in-law and sister did to be part of the Oval Office and the White House staff. Daddy kept Fredo back home. So who cares what Donald Trump Jr. says? Who cares what Donald Trump Jr. says?
Look, Devin Nunes is proving himself again and again to be the Fredo of the Republican Party.
Now, one of those clips, Chris Cuomo was sitting right there listening to Anna Navarro when she, doing the first clip where she said, who cares what Donald Trump Jr. says? Because she's calling him the dumb brother,
correct.
Fredo.
And that's what it is.
And Cuomo was sitting there.
Right. And that's what it was. It wasn't calling Italians the N-word. It was basically talking about how...
The dumb brother.
The dumb brother. Because, you know, as Fredo said in the movie, I'm smart. I can do things.
Yeah. So he's sitting right there listening to Anna Navarro say the N-word, and this other guy on CNN says Fredo.
Right.
So now it's the N-word all of a sudden.
Right.
See, this is what...
So it's just another example of the left trying to hijack the plight of African-Americans in the United States.
Right. Everybody's got an N-word.
Everybody's a minority now. Yeah. Everybody's the N-word. And it's amazing because... We talk in our group chat amongst ourselves, and there was a clip that we showed where you would see, and you can see this on YouTube, that there are other groups of people that are not black that use the N-word ad nauseum.
Try everybody.
When they address one another.
Try everybody.
Yeah.
I saw a gang fight full of Latinos out west somewhere. It was about 30 people. I heard the N-bomb like 100 times. I've heard Asian kids calling each other the N-word.
Yeah.
When I used to work at a hotel years ago. It's a cultural thing now. Of course, white people address themselves as the N-word, or when they get into a fight, they call each other B-A-Ns, you know. Everybody uses it. Everybody's an N-word
now. So we've got alphabet soup today. We've got the BRT, now we've got the B-A-N.
Yeah, the B-A-N. But it's a cultural thing now to where it's
almost bravado.
It is, but it's a cultural thing to where certain people, whether they be in hip-hop community, in the inner city community, no matter what group, everybody's an N-word.
Right.
Even black people call white people N-words.
Right.
Jesse Smollett, the one who was attacked
by... But now we're going to start calling each other Fredos.
Yeah. Well, thanks to Cuomo. So actor Jesse Smollett, who was attacked by those Trump supporters when it was 40 below in Chicago that night.
Right. He put a noose around
him. Yeah. And MAGA hats, you know, guys with MAGA hats. He called Trump on Twitter a B-A-N.
Wow.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter who you're talking to.
Right.
You just call them an N-word. And
right.
Even though they're white, even though they're... Yeah.
And so this was, again, his way of basically talking about how offended he was because he was being called Fredo.
Yeah. He said it's an insult to your people.
Right. To your people.
Yeah, he's a moron. So, but again, this was his own network, CNN, where people were using this term Fredo. So apparently nobody got upset. Nobody got bleeped. Nobody got reprimanded. And he was sitting right there for one of those clips. Right. He's a fraud.
Yeah.
He's a fraud.
And the thing is, too, is that he was, he basically told, the guy told him, he says, I thought your name was Fredo.
Well,
I didn't know what your name
was. Well, he was lying.
Well,
of course he was being insulting. But well, I don't have any love for that.
Do we know that?
Yes,
for sure.
Come on.
He
knows the guy is not, if you recognize the guy from television, you know his name is not Fredo.
It could have been
You know he's Chris Cuomo. And so, yeah, come on. You know his name. You know this is not Fredo Cuomo on CNN at night. You know. So,
well, I mean, Fredo wasn't Fredo. It was Federico.
That was the nickname.
Exactly. Right?
So what I'm saying is that he knows.
Could have been a nickname.
People say that all the time. Well, I thought that's where you're. I mean, I know the guy was lying, but we're dealing with Cuomo, who's flying off the handle. The guy was an idiot, of course.
Cuomo wants to threaten violence of the guy. I'll throw you down the steps. I'll ruin your health record.
Yeah, well.
I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah. But I think this is a guy who has, now, other people, including conservatives, have stood up for him, like Sean Hannity and a few others.
I mean, that's what conservatives do. I mean, conservatives typically aren't not the ones that go shout down someone in a public place when they're with their families.
Right.
Right? Unlike Mad Max, who advocated that.
Maxine Waters.
That, you know, wherever you see them, just let them know we're not going to stand for it. If they're out in public with their families, you want to get in their face and tell them, no, not here. Well, that kind of thing.
Well, yeah. Oop, sorry.
Can you, once again, listen. Fredo has his phone on.
No, Fredo. Did you just call me the N-word?
You know that word's offensive to all black people.
Well, you know what?
Your people being called Fredo.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, but this guy is just a joke, but he doesn't realize what he's done. For him getting so upset and for this video going, you know, so viral as it has done, now everybody is going to call him Fredo because they know how to push his buttons. So he was better off just walking away. He's become like a joke now. So when people see him in public, hey, Fredo, they're going to send him texts and tweets calling him Fredo because they know what bothers him.
Mm-hmm.
And you never let people know, particularly when you're in the public, what bothers you because they will just wear it. It's like a kid. A kid knows that, he's getting on your nerves. They'll keep doing what they're doing.
But see, here's the thing, too. Here it is that he responded to someone calling him a name, or someone he responded to someone, and again, being very New York, he's basically a counterpuncher, right? That he gets into the guy's face, he doesn't appreciate what the guy did, and then he wants to basically attack the guy, right? If this were Donald Trump doing that, what would be said?
Oh,
right?
I can't even imagine.
So basically, this is the situation where you have the pot calling the kettle black. That you have an instance where, you know, they were using the term Fredo and they're using it against the Trump family, et cetera. And Chris Cuomo was sitting there, you know, gleefully, you know, basically agreeing with that. But the moment.
Go ahead.
You just want to play another clip?
No, right. I wasn't playing it. I'm just. It was a screw up. You feel better?
What's the third one this show?
Yeah. Take it out of my pay.
Done. Done. So, but if this was Donald Trump, a counterpuncher, a classic New Yorker, right? All kind of vile would come out about him.
Well,
right? But again, they said, well, you know, Chris Cuomo's not the president. Chris Cuomo, I mean, he's a human being, since he's media, he's supposed to have a certain comportment about himself, right?
Well, more importantly, he doesn't stand up when other people have been in the same situation of being attacked. Politicians, for instance, not the president.
Correct.
Members of the administration, like Sarah Huckabee Sanders, like the Pam Bondi, who was forced out of a theater with her family, or they went to Mitch McConnell's home last week.
Right.
They've gone to Tucker Carlson's home, or even ICE officials, they've gone to their homes.
Right.
He's never stood up and said, "Hey, that's wrong. We shouldn't do that."
But you have people from the right or the conservative groups that basically said, "Hey, you know what? We need to leave this guy alone when he's out in the public."
Yeah. Sean Hannity, because he gets harassed, he gets threatened.
Right.
You know, and most people who say, look, we're on television, you come after us on TV for what we say, that's fine. But when we're out with our families, we're out in public, it's off limits. But to the left, the politics never ends.
Never.
You can't go to a ball game.
No.
You can't go to anywhere. And you just spoke of Mad Maxine. So you heard it right from the moon bat's mouth.
Now, Khalid.
She is a moon bat. I'm sorry.
Khalid.
That woman is not well. You know how I feel about her.
a moon bat?
Yeah, she's.
You have to describe what a moon bat is.
Use your imagination. is not exactly a sane person.
Wow.
She's a lawmaker. She's yelling at people to harass people.
Right. And so when this is done to the left, yes. all of a sudden, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
She started. She's one of the people that creates this kind of culture.
Right.
Her rhetoric, right? We know about rhetoric. We hear
and
rhetoric
people do what? They listen to her.
Yeah.
Folks, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show.
The Todd Allen Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin. And I don't stretch as much. Dad, I hope you're still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. This is our second hour. Thanks for listening. Khalid, let's talk a little bit about what's happening in Washington, D.C. regarding immigration and the expansion of the... let me get my glasses here. Let me read it here. Expansion of the public charge law.
Okay. So, Ken Cuccinelli, who's acting director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, he was just appointed a couple months ago by Trump. He was a former attorney general of Virginia. And... he was roundly criticized for comments he made Tuesday on NPR, suggesting that the Statue of Liberty's poem was only meant to welcome immigrants who can, quote, stand on their own 2 feet. And Tuesday evening, he doubled down by suggesting the poem only applied to, quote, people coming from Europe where they had class-based societies. So now, some people went off and said, oh, it's only for white people. And then, you know, they began to racialize this thing because he was denouncing the expansion of what's called the public charge law, which states that immigrants cannot be a, quote, burden to the country. They have to not go on public services. So they want to expand this law to include food stamps. Well, that's what they've done. They've expanded.
It's actually done.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah.
But the law itself was written under a president by the name of William Jefferson Clinton. Signed in
1996. You mean Bill?
Yeah, Bill. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. I feel your pain.
I feel your pain.
Where's Monica?
Ooh.
Let me check under this.
Wow. Wow. We're going there? Leave Monica alone.
No, we're not. No,
leave
we're not.
Leave sorry, Monica alone.
So anyway, first I want to tell the people out there who don't really understand. The poem... on the
Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, your need to be free, is not immigration policy. That is not what we look to as policy.
Nor was it on the Statue of Liberty when it came over.
Right.
It was added to the Statue of Liberty later.
I want you to think of how many poor, tired people there are in the world.
Let alone huddled masses.
Just think about it. Just think about it. So it's not policy. The president... according to Article 2, has statutory authority given to him for immigration through the Immigration and Nationality Act. That's what the president has authority to control and to make decisions on immigration. The Constitution gives Congress control over naturalization, which are different.
Mm-hmm.
So people are flipping out, talking about the Statue of Liberty and talking about this is racist, blah, 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 blah. Okay, let me just say this. Ken Cuccinelli, in expanding this law, is trying to make sure American taxpayers aren't burdened with importing millions of poor people, which we've already been doing, right? And so some people want to make this out to be a race thing, which is the only thing discernible skill that Democrats have is figuring out new ways to call something racist. They really have no other discernible abilities.
Right.
They sit around in rooms and throw out words. They probably have board games in behind closed doors.
Yeah, or you they're know. Called the BRT.
Yeah, yeah, bias response teams. So the public charge law was signed in 1996, and it basically, you know, it's an old law that is meant to protect American taxpayers for burdens. And let's start with the definition of public charge, all right, just so people will know. And public charge is essentially a term that describes people who are on public assistance, who are new immigrants, your public charge.
Right.
So they want to make sure people coming to this country have the ability to sustain themselves.
And not only that, when people come over, in many instances, they would need a sponsor, right? And so that sponsor then becomes part of who is going to be held responsible for that person to be here. And typically, it lasts for about 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. And if you've gone through the immigration process, you're asked to list people who can financially support you if necessary.
Right. And then those people who are sponsors or who bring, let's say if you bring your spouse, if you're from overseas, and you bring your spouse, then you have to show your financial ability. And so you have to meet certain income levels, certain income guidelines in order for that process to take place.
Yeah, and that's how the government operates. It's like, anybody ever got financial aid? And they turned it your needs assessment. You know?
right.
So it's
not,
okay.
Not your want assessment.
Yeah, your needs assessment.
Right.
And it's okay for Americans.
I need my money.
Yeah. And that's okay for American citizens to be asked these questions when it comes to the government, how they spend money on American citizens.
Well, it's because the other party, if you will, is actually looking for more votes.
Yeah, that's true. And right. A public charge refers to a person who is considered primarily dependent on the government for subsistence, as demonstrated by either receipt of public cash assistance for income maintenance or institutionalization of long-term care at government expense. So basically, you're on the dole.
Well, Nat, and we talked about this before, there are no government programs.
Right.
They're taxpayer programs.
Correct. Taxpayer funded, not government funded.
Correct.
And, you know, this is something else that bothers me about immigration. You remember the immigration raid they had about a week and a half ago, where they rounded up, you didn't hear this?
You're talking about the ICE?
They rounded up 600 people.
Yeah, when they went down into some of the food plants.
Yes.
Down in Texas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't, I don't think it was in Texas. I think it was in Alabama or down in the
south. It was
south.
Down deep south. South.
Yeah,
not south, south.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
So what was interesting about this, because you hear all this talk about separating people from their families by these, which makes me want to, lose my lunch. And what was interesting is that these people were asked, well, do you have children at daycare that need to be picked up or at school, right? So I wrote on the group chat, I said, so every day across this country, there's American citizens who are parents who are picked up on outstanding warrants and are taken to jail, who aren't given this consideration.
Right.
And while you have frauds on stage running for president who used to be former prosecutors, I won't mention them from California, last name Harris, who says things like,
first name, come on.
Yeah. And I've been all over her Twitter account asking her.
She hasn't blocked you?
No, not yet.
Wow, it's coming.
It's coming, I'm sure. How many?
Did you mention you're on the Todd Allen Show when you say that? Hi, I'm Khalid from the Todd Allen Show. Blah 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 blah.
No, not
come
yet,
on, man. Come on. Now I need you to do a better job of marketing.
But I'm always asking these prosecutors. I said, how many? I wish somebody would ask her. How many families did you separate when you were a federal prosecutor?
Why don't you ask her on her Twitter account?
I do. I've asked her five times. She won't respond to me. She's locked up people that were whose kids were truant in California.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fact. You can read the story online where this mother was arrested because her child was truant. And Kamala Harris's hardline policy of locking up parents. Isn't that family separation?
Absolutely.
So why don't we have a? Why don't we do this?
But it wasn't at the border.
Okay.
That's the significant part.
Right. At the border.
At the border.
That is a difference.
And so not only to mention that the people that come over with children at the border, they may not necessarily be their kids, right?
Yeah.
Because we know that there's instances where the people come across the border who've taken people who are not their children in order to gain some sort of an advantage in trying to get in.
Yeah. But here's what I find interesting about this whole thing. Why don't we just have a law that says no parents should ever be arrested if their kids are like adolescents or under the age of 12. Because we don't want to separate any parents from their children, right?
Right.
So let's just say, I know you like ran over somebody while you were drinking, but do you have any kids that are under age 12? Because I don't think you should be separated.
Or do you have any kids at daycare at the moment?
Yeah. You need, before we take you to jail, can we? You need to pick up your kids? This is so dumb.
So are the kids going to be in the jail cell with them?
No.
So they're going to be separated.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why we shouldn't put them in jail. They should not be taken to jail. Because I want American citizens to get the same treatment as Latinos. Illegal Latinos, shall I say. And if you don't want to separate families, dadgummit, nobody should be separated from their kids.
Right.
I really, really hate these people. I'm sorry. I should use that word hate. I have serious contempt. I have contempt. That's a better sounding word. Because it's so disingenuous, fraudulent, and phony. Why don't you know what prosecutors are in the business of doing? Separating people from their families.
Right.
Rightly or wrongly, that's what they do.
Right.
But now it's a crime in itself because this person has children and they come from another country and they've come across the border, they've committed crimes and they've
And of course, with the expansion of this law, now it becomes racist if you don't allow someone that's coming from another country to be on food stamps.
Yeah, I know. It's insane. These people, they are insane.
Well, but you know, I mean, it's from the people who are running for president from that particular party. I mean, they want to give everybody everything. But here's the thing: they don't have to pay for it because Congress. Remember, Congress when there was a work stoppage and everyone wasn't getting paid. Those in Congress were the ones who were getting paid. The Congress people were getting paid. They didn't lose their direct deposit. I mean, they were flush.
Yeah.
They even went home and decided that they were going to go on vacation. They'll come back and deal with it at a later time while other people were suffering. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they care about you.
Of course they do. They love us.
Folks, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show.
I hate them.
The Todd Allen Show. Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin. And I don't stress as much. Dad, I hope he's still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Yeah. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. Khalid, how can our listeners follow you?
Hopefully, preferably not too closely. But Khalid Namar at all social media platforms.
And folks, you can follow us at The Todd Allen Show on all social media. Khalid, let's continue. You were a boxer, and you're still in the boxing game.
Yes.
And I know that you're somewhat of a boxing historian. And during the break, you were talking about how you followed up on a boxer that fought a bunch of Uber drivers in your turn. But let's talk about that particular story because it ties into what we're talking about at the last.
Yeah, with segment. Immigration.
Yeah.
Because again, you're not allowed to say that some people are. Of a certain group are criminals, but because you're going to be accused of saying that about the whole group. So I was checking up on this heavyweight fighter. He retired. His name is David Gonzalez. He's doing okay. He's from El Paso. He was an immigrant from El Paso, and he talked about he doesn't like Beto O'Rourke.
He was an immigrant from El Paso,
from Mexico. Did I say El Paso?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He was an immigrant from Mexico who grew up in El Paso.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for correcting me.
You're welcome anytime.
Yes. I'm sure you enjoyed that as you're lighting up a cigarette.
That would be a cigar.
Cigar. So he doesn't like Beto O'Rourke, and I love him already when I first read that. So he basically says Beto is a fraud. Right, he talked about El Paso is the 20th, you know, the 20th most. Wow, Ciudad Juarez. I'm sorry. Is the most dangerous 20th most dangerous city in the world. The Dallas Morning News reported last year it has over 200 murders per month. Right,
this and is El Paso.
This is across the border from El Paso in Ciudad Juarez.
Okay, in Mexico.
In Mexico.
Okay.
So, Mr. Gonzalez. Doesn't like Beto because he said Beto is a basic fraud. He's lying about the wall, right? He supports Trump. He supports the wall, right? So he talks about when he was a kid, he knew a lot of people that he used to spar with that came from El Paso. came across the border to El Paso from Mexico. And he said, when I was a kid, when they didn't have the wall, a lot of the kids I sparred with, I knew were part of the criminal element. He told the life set. They would easily run across the border, know where the border patrol and post were, bypass them, do a carjacking, rob the Santa Fe Railroad, bring the stuff back, strip down cars, change the VIN number, and sell it. I knew it all too well. He said, people don't understand. This wall has saved lives, he added. For this guy, Beto, out there to say, we don't need the wall, he's just being a cheerleader. And all he's missing are his pom-poms.
Wow.
He said that while immigrants are good people for the most part who are seeking a better life in the United States, it is important to protect against those who are not. Quote, some people just take advantage of the system, Rodriguez said, who comes from a family of immigrants. Quote, there are some good people who come here, no doubt. I know a lot of Mexican friends who come here legally and even some who come here illegally who are good people. I'm not anti-immigrant, but for every five garter snakes you get a rattler.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. There are people coming here who aren't coming here to stock groceries. There are people coming to commit crime and live off the welfare system. I know this for a fact. Trump is right on here. Now, again, this is a Mexican immigrant, grew up in El Paso, supports Trump, supports the wall. And there are what I learned a couple of months ago, there has been in Hidalgo County, and I'm not sure if El Paso is in Hidalgo County. I have to look it up. There's been an increase in the Republican Party in Hidalgo County.
Wow.
Because there are people like him,
right,
who are immigrants, who are Mexican descent,
right,
who support the wall.
Well, the thing is that they don't get the voice. The media is not going to report them. They're not going to have that voice.
That's why I'm doing it here on the Todd Allen Show.
Right. So that's a good story.
But I thought that was just interesting because he defies all the odds. I guess he's a racist.
Right. Right. I'm going to change gears just a little bit from the last story. We're going to talk about Planned Parenthood. So this story comes from NPR. It says Planned Parenthood to withdraw from Title X unless court intervenes. Okay? This is an NPR story. Planned Parenthood says it will formally withdraw from the nation's family planning program for low-income people within days unless a federal court intervenes. In a letter to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, Planned Parenthood officials ask for a stay against new Trump administration rules that forbid organizations receiving Title X funds to provide or refer patients for abortion. If the court does not intervene, Planned Parenthood says it will be forced to pull out, on August 19th after decades with the program.
Oh, boy.
So basically what this means is that the Planned Parenthood is part of what they do is as we know, abortion. So this part of the bill just basically says that they're not going to be receiving government funds for the abortion portion, but it doesn't mean that they won't be receiving funds for other parts of what Planned Parenthood does. But Planned Parenthood certainly, you know, it has interpreted it totally different. And so in a statement to NPR on Wednesday afternoon, the Department of Health official and human services spokesman wrote, to the extent that Planned Parenthood claims that it must make burdensome changes to comply with the final rule, it is actually choosing to place a higher priority on the ability to refer for abortions instead of continuing to receive federal funds to provide a broad range of acceptable and effective family planning methods and services to clients in need of these services. So I thought that was kind of interesting because one of the things that the Trump administration said that they would do when they were elected is that they would defund Planned Parenthood. And this has actually gone through the Ninth Circuit. Planned Parenthood, they lost in court. They appealed at the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit basically upheld the rule regarding, and they probably thought that it goes to the Ninth Circuit that there was just a slam dunk.
A rubber stamp,
yeah. But apparently it has not. And so August 9th, Planned Parenthood would lose a portion of its funding in excess of, I think, about $60 million or more. Maybe, but that particular Title X has been around since 71. It started with $6 million and has ballooned up to about $236 million. And so they're liable to lose a substantial amount simply because of them wanting to continue to have abortions as opposed to make referrals. So I thought that was really interesting and a little tongue-in-cheek with Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
So they're pulling out.
No comment on that. I don't want a producer to, you know, cuss me out. Anyway.
It's an effective method.
Yeah. So the biggest story of the week has been the apparent suicide of Mr. Epstein.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you said apparent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it hasn't been official ruling yet. So this is about like the biggest story of the week, and it's been like all these conspiracy theories.
It smells bad.
It does. It does. Because Jeffrey Epstein was found to be dead in his cell from an apparent suicide. And what's happening is these theories have come out because so many protocols seem to have been breached. He was taken off suicide watch, which is uncustomary. He was supposed to have been checked on every 3 hours. That didn't happen. He was, I mean, not even
when he was on suicide watch.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. He was supposed to have been checked on every 30 minutes, but he was not checked on for hours.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the guards maybe were roofied. I don't know. They fell asleep. What a strange coincidence.
Well, they worked long hours. I mean,
there are no cameras.
Right.
There are no cameras. So how in the world is all of these things happen to be coincide at the same time, and this guy ends up dead. Now, for some people think the Clintons are involved, and they think the Clintons killed a bunch of people. Some people believe that there's some conspiracy. I'll say this. The women are still talking. The witnesses are still talking. This saves Jeffrey Epstein from criminal prosecution because he's dead. However, these women are still talking. They're still dropping names. They've dropped names of some very powerful people, including former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, former Maine Senator George Mitchell, and Prince Andrew. Who knows who else is coming out? So they're still there.
But one person that they've exonerated.
Well, he's not exonerated. They just can't charge him criminally because he's dead.
Well, what I'm saying is that one person that they pretty much said that was not involved with that is.
Well, Trump.
Correct.
Yeah, and Trump wasn't even. And this is why I talk about the media. This would not be a big story if Trump didn't know the guy from 15 years ago. Their relationship ended at around 2007. They knew each other years earlier. They fell out once it became public or known to him that he had sexually was involved with a young girl or tried to harass her or something. Trump threw him out of the club. That was around 2007. They have not associated since then. He has never been accused of flying around on the guy's plane, going to places. They just knew each other from many, many years ago. And think how many wealthy people Trump knows.
But who has been on that plane several times?
Are you trying to say that I was on that plane? I was with Monica. I was with Hillary. I was with Hillary. And I was with Monica. Well, not at the same time. But I'm sorry.
This can't take you anywhere.
Well, Bill Clinton was pretty chummy with the guy. He's flying on the plane, which was called by some in the press circles Air F1. And they flew around a bunch of times.
To his island.
The witness said that the witness, Miss Jeffrey, I forget her first name, I'll look it up. She says that Trump was never involved with her sexually. None of the girls she knew he was involved with. He was never even around. And he never flirted with her. He, you know, never did. So he had nothing to do with this. But the fact that he knew this guy so many years ago,
right,
his name comes up. So you're going to hear more names come out, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, I think, personally me. There's going to be some civil settlements. Somebody's privately going to, if they haven't already, they're going to contact her lawyers or the lawyers of these women, and they're going to start writing checks. So once they write these checks, these criminal cases are going to go away, right, which is what happened in the Michael Jackson case years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was a criminal case against him. He got his lawyers together. They paid a bunch of money to the victims, and the criminal case went away. That's what's going to happen here. And I think nobody's going to end up going to be, they're not going to be exposed. Nobody's going to jail and all this other big scandal. Not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Checks, you know, what's that saying? Cash rules everything around me.
Cream. Get the money. Dollar bill.
That's it. That's what's going to happen.
Okay.
And
well, money answers all things, doesn't it?
Yeah. And that's this. Yeah. I believe because Bill Richardson, who is a very prominent Democrat, very close to the Clintons, which makes sense. That him and Bill Clinton were both in these same circles. It makes sense. He's been very silent since his name is dropped. No press conferences, no interviews.
Right. Right.
His lawyers are working on it, though.
Yeah.
She's going to get some checks written, and they're going to go away. Because these women are in their 30s now. Epstein is dead. He can't be thrown in jail. And they're going to take the money and go in.
So what do you think about these conspiracy theories? I mean,
I just think...
I mean, because there are some people on the right, mm-hmm. that have just basically just run with it.
Yeah, we have nuts on the right, too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to mispronounce his name.
Dinesh D'Souza?
D'Souza is one. I mean, he's come out talking about the Clintons and the conspiracy, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, he's very vocal about that as well.
I don't think it makes sense at all. And I'll say this. The girls know who they had sex with. Right? Epstein isn't the only one that knows the truth. These girls know.
Right.
Because they were having sex with people.
Right.
They know who they saw. Now, let's just say you want to get elaborate. You can say, well, they're going to kill Epstein and buy off the witnesses. Well, we'll see. But their names have not come out yet. And this case has been going on for a while. And Bill Clinton's name has not been mentioned as having sex with any of these girls. And they've been around. They've been throwing out names. Mm-hmm. They just haven't thrown his name. Now, who's to say they haven't paid him already? Who knows? I don't know.
Right.
But I don't think the Clintons had the guy killed. I'm just not going to say that. I think that's a little kooky. And I know that there's this long body count that the Clintons allegedly have had. I don't get into that kind of stuff.
People have committed suicide by shooting themselves with a rifle. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
People got a sudden case of death.
Right.
But I'll just say this. We'll find out, possibly. I wouldn't be surprised. Epstein is a diabolical dude. He's got a lot of money. That if he didn't pay and arrange his own death, because this is not something that has not happened before, where someone had arranged their own death with their money.
That's an interesting conspiracy.
Well, it's not a conspiracy. It's just something I think is a theory, not a conspiracy. It's a theory that it's plausible. Anyway. We'll be back on the other side of the Todd Allen Show.
Thank you for doing my job. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
The Todd Allen Show. What's
going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin. And I don't stress as much. Dad, I hope you're still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, work.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to The Todd Allen Show. So, Beyonce's husband is in the news, Khalid.
Yes. And some people are not happy. So, Jay-Z has a deal, some partnership where he is involved in the NFL and some social justice issues, and certain people are not happy. So, Jay-Z and Roger Goodell had this meeting, which kind of went public yesterday, and it's called. This is a story from The Undefeated. It's called Jay-Z Goes to the NFL. But who's getting paid and what justice is being amplified? So just give you a synopsis. Welcome to this month in 2019 when Jay-Z looked more like a billionaire than ever. His company, Roc Nation, signed a deal with the NFL to produce entertainment for events, including Super Bowl halftime, ensuring diverse acts for the show. He turned it down last year.
So he's managing the acts that will be performing.
Pretty much Roc Nation, yeah.
Right.
This is an entertainment deal, one that might get more progressive acts to feel better about performing at NFL events. But Roc Nation will amplify the the league's Inspire Change initiative, which could be roundly described as social justice stuff, quote unquote.
Social justice stuff.
Yeah. He has also supported Colin Kaepernick, who, as you may have heard, still doesn't have a job. Turned down an opportunity to perform at halftime of the Super Bowl and bragged about his defiance at the league on Apes, which I guess that's one of his songs. August also saw Miami Dolphins owner Stephen Ross, the man behind the Ross Initiative in Sports for Equality, RISE, an organization dedicated to fighting racial discrimination in sports, holding a fundraiser for President Donald Trump at a moment when the White House and white supremacy were inextricably linked. Stunning reporting. So,
that's BRT, biased reporting.
So to put this in context, people don't like this, meaning some of his Jay-Z supporters.
They think that he sold out Colin Kaepernick.
Yes, they think he sold out Colin Kaepernick because Kaepernick still doesn't have a job. there's a former NFL player by the name of Ed Reed, mm-hmm. and he slammed Jay-Z. And
said wasn't Ed Reed just inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. This is the wrong Reed. This is Eric Reed. Eric Reed.
Okay.
Of the Carolina Panthers. My bad. Eric Reed of the Carolina Panthers, who was the first player to join Kaepernick in kneeling during the national anthem, also posted a tweet Wednesday night in response to the deal and Jay-Z's remarks on Kaepernick. Reed also had been a vocal critic of the Players Coalition called the Roc Nation Deal Players Coalition 2.0 in a tweet following up with an explanation of his criticism. He basically says that he thinks that he sold out Cap's career. That's what he thinks.
He sold out his career.
Yeah.
But he's still playing.
Yeah, he's still playing.
But Cap's not.
Yeah.
So he thought that by everybody kneeling in protest that Cap was going
to
get a job.
Yeah, and now that Jay-Z's going on to do his deal, and other people are criticizing this too. This article from The Atlantic said Jay-Z helped to banish Colin. Helped to banish Colin Kaepernick.
Colin, he was banished before.
The former quarterback caused a problem for the league, which turned into a celebrated rapper for assistance. Now, I know that he can't go in there negotiating saying, hey, give Cap a job, because I don't think they will care. They won't do that.
Well, I mean, even before. I mean, Kaepernick had been a divisive element in the clubhouse.
Okay, so I guess, see, Darvio's probably going to yell at me about this, because I said the song Apes. It actually was Ape-ish.
So you have to play it in the background? Is that what you're doing?
No, that's not your phone.
Of course that's your phone.
It's not my phone.
Whose phone is it?
It's not my phone.
Oh, it's the producer's mom's phone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. I apologize.
Yes.
I apologize. Oh, and you know, since we're talking about, you know, selling out and owing people money, I want to publicly say that I was incorrect when I made that dollar bet with you mm-hmm. regarding a particular movie that I thought was going to go platinum. Mm-hmm. Not platinum, but...
you thought it was going to be a mega hit.
A mega hit. And it didn't even go, you know, wood.
Yeah.
So I owe you a dollar. Okay. And so I will pay my debt.
I can, you know, get that Christmas present for mom.
Man, you're cheap.
So anyway, back to the article.
Tell her she's welcome.
Ape-ish, you know, is the song that he made. You can know what that means. He rapped this lyric. Once I said no to the Super Bowl, you need me. I don't need you. Every night we in the end zone. Tell the NFL we in the stadiums too. Well, now he's in business with the league, as this article says. Because, see, all that social justice stuff goes out. When these guys get the corporate bug, like Kaepernick, signed a deal with Nike.
Yeah, got paid.
Got paid. Because at the end of the day, these guys want to be businessmen, and that quells all that social justice nonsense they have. They want to make deals. Even Ali, who I adore like many people, many millions of people, he wasn't the Ali of 1960s when he was in exile, wasn't making any money, as he was in 2001 when he refused to comment on anything related to 9/11 because he, quote, didn't want to mess up his business deals. He said that on an interview on NBC. Mm-hmm. He kind of went, I don't want to mess up my business deals, and he kind of shushed himself.
Right.
Well, they want to go back to Ali in the 60s. Yeah, he was a young 22, 23, 24-year-old young radical, of course, at the time. A lot of black men were trying to make change. and he was broke. He wasn't signing corporate deals and all this stuff. He had to go speak for money and act in plays and stuff.
Right.
These guys now are limousine liberals. They got mansions, man.
Limousine liberals. Yeah. That's pretty good.
They got mansions and private jets.
Right.
And you want them to act like John Carlos and Tommy Smith from 68. That ain't happening.
Right.
These dudes are wealthy beyond imagination. They live better than real kings did 100 years ago.
Well, they live better than the people who buy the tickets to go watch the play.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, and it's... But they're the ones that want to talk about social justice. But how can you talk about justice when you're, as you said, you're a limousine liberal, and many of the politicians who are running for president, limousine liberals.
Now his girlfriend, Kaepernick's girlfriend, Nessa Diab, wrote on Twitter that Kaepernick didn't speak with Jay-Z before he brokered his deal with the NFL.
Was he supposed to?
Well, this is what. In her mind, I guess. Jay-Z said yesterday that he spoke to Kaepernick on Monday, but he wouldn't divulge how their conversation went. Of course not. A source close to Kaepernick, speaking on the condition of anonymity because of the sensitivity of the topic, told me it was not a good conversation.
Right. Well, I mean, because Kaepernick was trying to figure out how he can get paid in this whole deal.
Well,
the whole thing. I mean, with the Nike deal. I mean, his whole protest. However, he was doing the protest while he had a job. Right.
Yes.
And so when he no longer had a job. He needed to have some sort of income.
Well, no, well, not really.
Well, it's figuratively. So then he made the deal with Nike.
But this is the point that I was making. Kaepernick, Ali was broke when he did what he did. He didn't have any money.
Correct.
Right?
Right. And in fact, Joe Frazier helped him out in many instances.
Yeah, he didn't have any money. So he made a real sacrifice at the height of his career, at least in his prime.
Right.
Not at the height, but in his prime, he 3.5 years was out of the ring.
Right, and that's a lifetime.
That's
in
a
boxing.
Lifetime in boxing, yeah. And Kaepernick had already banked $60 million.
Right,
so it's easy to do what you do when you got $60 million already banked.
And he also turned down a contract.
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
and he turned down a couple of deals. So what I'm saying is that it's not a sacrifice for a guy who has banked $60 million already to act like an activist. Dude, you go home to your mansion and your ranch and your vacation home in Bermuda.
Right.
It's very easy. Bob Hope said it years ago about how much Leonard and Hager was getting paid. He said, when one guy got to, what, $10 million? He said, it's easy to do road work when you own the road.
Right.
So I knew it was a good conversation because the article was telling me, well, he didn't divulge how it went. Well, that tells you.
Right.
See, this is why I don't take these people seriously. I do not. Because they're all mega wealthy, mega privileged, but they want to act as though they're like you and I.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was down there with Occupy Wall Street talking about, you know, he's the 99%, right?
No, well, that was Russell Simmons.
Ah, right.
So. And Russell Simmons, just because you wear sweatsuits, dude, you got $100 million in the bank.
Right. You are the 1%.
Yeah, you are the 1%.
There they go over there.
Right. And this is what people don't need to know. Some of the most radical Marxist, communist, and terrorists in the world come from wealthy backgrounds.
The millionaires and billionaires.
Yeah, millionaires and billionaires. Che Guevara's family, he was a doctor.
Right.
Ayman al-Zawahiri, the number two of bin Laden, was also a physician. And Osama bin Laden inherited millions and billions from his father, who was killed in a plane crash. Mm-hmm. Right? And the wealthiest people in China in the Communist Party are in the Communist Party.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't – and these people here, these social activists, now Jay-Z's turning this into a business deal. But he said he didn't need the NFL, right, in his rap, right?
Right. Well, I guess didn't need him.
Okay.
So is he doing it for free?
No. That's what I'm saying. He's Roc Nation is his management company. He's going to be producing acts for the NFL.
For the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And probably other stuff.
Yeah. And so in one regard, I mean, the NFL basically is just basically taking something off of their table in terms of having to find the acts, and they basically outsource the whole thing to another company.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know.
But what's up with
so
Cap?
So it's a tax deduction because it's a business expense now.
What about Cap?
So the league gets richer.
But what about Cap?
What
man?
About Cap? Cap got paid. Cap, Nike took care of him.
Cap needs a job, man.
Need a haircut. Anyway, Angela Davis afro.
I think it's funny though how they turn on each other. You see what I'm saying? You got Eric Reed mad. You got Cap mad. You know
that's because you know it's all about money, right?
Well,
what we said in the last segment: cream, cash rules everything around me.
Well, I thought it was about social justice.
Well, and no justice. You got to have ends to have justice.
Well, let me ask you this. Right. What is the difference between justice and social justice?
Dollar signs? I don't know. What? It's just justice. I have the same argument with people all the time. You know, social justice.
They have to add a word to it.
Right.
Now there's environmental justice.
It's not cold. It's cold.
Yeah. There's environmental justice.
Right.
Next, we got food justice.
Right.
Right? We got food justice, social justice. Right. We got all kind of different justices going on.
I'm
going
to wear my free.
We got David justice.
I'm going to wear my free Colin Kaepernick shirt next week. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Todd Allen Show.
The Todd Allen Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's your man's Aaron Malik here. Feel free to go and stream my new single, Cool, Calm, and Collected, featuring my lovely label mate, Brittany Franklin.
Watch as I saddle up in a Tesla when I used to walk everywhere. Look where I ended up. My mind is rich and my legs are super tough. Comfy in my own skin. And I don't stress as much. Dad, I hope he's still looking down, seeing me grow up. I'm taking my time and doing it right for once.
Now you see I'm cool, calm, collected, works.
You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, and all other major platforms.
The Todd Allen Show.
Folks, we really appreciate you all tuning into the Todd Allen Show and listening to us on here on AM 1420, The Answer. You can also listen to us on FM 102.5, and you can hear us again. If you enjoyed this show, you can listen to us again on iHeartRadio, iHeartRadio.com, in the podcast for the Todd Allen Show. We've come to a part of the show which we really appreciate and we really like, and we have a lot of fun with this. In fact, this is also on the iHeartRadio network as well. You Big Dummy.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y, period.
Stupid!
The reason that bad things happen to you is because you're a dumbass.
All right, so this is from Missouri, and this is from People Magazine. So people should be very careful how they text, because you don't know where your text is going to. And you should also not offer too many details in a text. I don't even curse in my text. I use symbols. I do. Because I'm afraid my mom might get it or something.
Right.
I don't even curse in my text. I never do. Or my messages. So, a Missouri police officer was, getting his messages or getting a wrong text from someone, trying to convince him that he was a girl that, he had been out with before.
Ah, okay. Right?
So he goes, the cop texts back, says, well, he didn't tell him he was a cop, but he said, look, I'm the right person. And the person proceeds to mentioned that, oh yes, we got high together to the cop to try to convince the cop that, hey, let's go out Friday. You remember last time, we got together, we got high together.
Okay.
And so the cop sends back sends back his badge and a picture of his badge saying, I don't think that was me last time, but you sure you want to go do this?
Right.
And this dummy didn't realize, oh, wow, wait a minute. If the person tells you it's not me, it's the wrong number, you don't come back and say, oh, yeah, remember that time
we got high? Right.
And this moron disappeared, didn't respond.
Okay. After the badge.
Yeah, after the badge. Of course they did. It's like, oh, dope.
Right.
So the cops started to have some fun with them. They started to come back and say, hey, what happened to us going to hang out? You sure you want to go hang out? And at first of all, this time it's probably spooked, that they got a cop and they mentioned drugs. But the cop was like, yeah, pretty sure we didn't get high together. He basically smiled, and it was a joke, to him. But this person was probably terrified, thinking that they're probably going to come and get you. Yeah, we got high together.
Right.
No, that wasn't me. But anyway, this cop is pretty good-natured. He's funny. He's laughing about it. Of course, he's not going to go arrest a person, but just be careful who you text. This is from Winfield Police Department in Missouri. And this person's name is, they didn't mention the person's name.
Right, right.
But they know who they are, and they're the dummy for the week.
Have you ever texted someone and you thought that it was a person that you were texting, but it was incorrect?
All the time.
All the time?
Well, actually, it happens once every couple of weeks. But it's usually something in, like, innocent. You know?
So is it a complete stranger or someone?
I've never texted a stranger. Well, I've texted a stranger before, but it was an old phone number, right?
Okay.
That it was right. in my phone and number changed.
Right.
Something like that.
Okay.
But I don't text anything embarrassing or anything like that where I think, you know, oh, my God, it's embarrassing. But I text wrong numbers to where I'm like, oh, okay, sorry, this person changed their number.
Right.
Something like that. But it's never anything that I'm ashamed of.
Well, I mean, that's good. I mean,
and I don't curse, that's for sure, on my text, because right. I don't want any wrong person to get it.
Right. And you don't talk about, you know, personal things.
Yes, you know. Yes. Yeah. I think people are, I don't send anything yeah. like that and ever.
Yeah, because once it's out there, it's out there. I mean, even to the point where if there's some things which may be deemed as controversial, you know, I know that you're a little bit different than on social media, on Facebook, where if something's controversial, you kind of meet it head on. I'll post something which seems controversial, but then I'll just ask the question, your thoughts, you know, what do you think about this, right? Yeah. And trying to get and there's been instances where I would put something on there and I just say, okay, your thoughts. And then other people would come in and be very aggressive in their speech, and then I noticed that you come in and kind of clean things up for them. I appreciate it. Yeah, but I've never texted someone that was the wrong number.
You know, it's one thing to text somebody with the wrong number, but then when you put something in there, it's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't do that. Yeah.
You don't mention drugs and crimes.
No,
and stuff like that.
No. No.
You remember we did this story about the LoveGov?
Yeah.
The LoveGov, he was sending sweet nothings to his girlfriend, but his wife got the text.
Right. Right. Remember that.
Yeah, he had to resign behind that.
Yeah.
He was the governor of Alabama. We called him the LoveGov.
I'm sorry, it was the wrong one.
Yeah. We called him the LoveBug. Right. So, yeah, people just not careful.
Yeah.
Texting explicit things or just things that they shouldn't text.
I mean, it goes to show that it used to be that if you wanted to talk to someone, you would call them as opposed to text, right? And I think we've talked about this before with our producer, that he's very he's highly likely to text, but he's very unlikely to be able to talk to on the telephone. So
yeah.
You know, and I realize that, you know, a lot of times people think, well, I'm too busy to talk on the phone, but I'm not too busy to communicate with my thumbs. Right. So that one way that you can always vet that you're talking to the right person or texting the right person is through voice recognition. You know, I mean, I would rather do that than text.
Well, you know, a lot of the people that my sister, she worked at Verizon for many years, and a lot of people would tell them that they were coming to get a phone and they wanted to get better at texting because that's the only way they could communicate with their grandkids.
That's funny.
Yeah. They don't know. Yeah. They said they don't call. So in order to communicate with their grandkids, they got to learn how to text.
Yeah. And my VCR still blinks 12.
Oh, your VCR.
VCR, not our VCR, right? On the internets.
The internets. Or Al Gore.
Right. Right. So, go ahead.
So, and sometimes when you do these dummy stories, there's sometimes a real dummy. Like, you've heard of these carpool lanes, right? The story came out just a few weeks ago. This guy got arrested driving in the carpool lane, and, you know, you're supposed to have a certain number of passengers or whatever. He had a dummy in the back seat.
Right.
A real dummy.
Right. Yeah, a real dummy. Right.
And they arrested both of the dummies. Right. Don't you think they know this trick?
Right. When I was in California, when I lived in California, we'd see that all the time in the express lane. You'd see someone that is supposed to be a carpool, so they have not just one dummy in the passenger seat, but they have two dummies in the back. So we got four people in here.
Where do you get a dummy? Do you make one?
I don't know.
Do you make your dummy at home? I mean, do you get like, well, or do you steal a mannequin? I mean, what do you?
Right, right, right. There was somebody that was living in my my apartment complex that they actually had a dummy in the car, but it looked like Freddy Krueger.
Oh my God!
And so in the passenger seat. So, you know, needless to say, when you're walking by that at night and you see something, it's kind of you know, startling. You know?
Is it really worth it? And it's a fine. $500 for sometimes in these cases.
Really?
Yeah, for having to getting caught with a dummy. I mean, $500 fine.
Wow.
At least in California.
Well, I mean, they're hurting for money anyway, right?
But it's like,
I mean, your tax dollars.
Is it really worth it? You know, I'm gonna go through all this trouble of making a dummy. The stick in my car, and if I get caught.
Well, I mean, it's just the artistic part of, you know, the nature of, you know, the creative part of being in California, you know.
I am just don't understand it. Because of the things that people go through to get around rules, you know.
Yeah.
And of course.
Well, rules are for everybody else. They're not for us.
Exactly.
You know.
And you know, a cop knows all the tricks. You know?
Well, and you would hope. I mean, they're officers of the law. They would know the loopholes, right?
Well, they know things people do. It's like, okay, you know, when you're looking at somebody's backseat, what a real person looks like or a dummy looks like. You see this funny looking thing in the backseat. Oh, I'm fooled. You know, I thought that was your wife, sir. I'm just not doing it. And then when you get caught, that's you have to go to court and they have to read the charges against you.
Right.
And I wonder, what is the charge?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they don't mention the dummy in your charges. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You're driving in the express lane and you don't have the authorized number of persons.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, having an illegal dummy or something like that.
But I mean, when you think about it, I mean, they'll spend the time to pull that over. I mean, given all the stuff, all the other crimes that they could be stopping or
yeah.
But you're going to pull that over. That's a, you know.
I just,
is that like Lindale here in Cleveland?
No. Right? Well, they got rid of that speed trap in Lindale.
Oh, did they? They just said use cameras.
It took so many years, but they got rid of it.
They
had too many court challenges to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's.
For those that don't know, Lindale was this one-bedroom community that.
It's one city block
they
long.
They had one cop, and his only job was to catch speeders coming through that one-mile stretch of highway.
Right. And they made a ton of money doing
it. Yes, they did.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Any final words? Good show today.
Yeah, good show. Good show. I went to the Browns game last week, so I'm looking forward to the Browns, season this year.
Pre-season game, right?
Well, it gives you a glimpse.
You went to go watch a practice.
Well, yeah. You want to see who's who, get to know who some of the players are.
And many of those players who were playing in that game won't be there at the beginning of the season.
But every year there's some breakout stars. And
right. So how much did it cost you to go there?
It was free.
Oh, well. That's even better.
Yeah.
I can't complain about that, right? So, that's it? Yep. Just you went to the Browns game?
Well, I'm just looking forward to the Browns season.
Yeah. So, folks, that's it for us here at the Todd Allen Show. Thanks for listening, and we look forward for you to be back with us next time. Remember, we are what we continually do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. Till next time, you're listening to the Todd Allen Show.
FCB Radio Network, first-class broadcasting worldwide.